The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
To me, if the Texans are going to win this game, they have to find success on the ground. And whether it's Watson doing it or whether it's the actual running backs getting it done, Hyde, I don't care who it is, they're gonna have to get yardage on the ground. Otherwise, the game's gonna be extended. That's bad news. And B, if you're asking Watson to beat these corners, I don't know if I like that matchup. When you look at Tom Herman's overall 24-15, it's not awful through 3 years, but
8-5 average.
It's not good enough. And it's certainly when you go 10-4 and then you regress back to 7-5, that's not good enough.
Got him a 2-year guaranteed extension.
Yep.
$6.5 million per year just doesn't buy a head coach what he used to.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number 3. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. And no more Charlie. He's done for the night, but that was a lot of fun. At Juggalo underscore Trey 23. And you can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on the Twitch channel. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. And you missed 2 hours of Charlie Polillo. All available on podcastarena.com. And now we usually have RJ, but you know what? We're really happy to have Brad Powers today. Not just to talk a little college football, but gambling in general. And he is a legend himself. For pregame.com, you can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Please welcome Brad Powers. What's up, buddy?
Hey, legend only in my own mind. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you, my man. Yeah, same to you. How did the football treat you yesterday?
Well, I took the Dallas Cowboys, so yeah, I had a lot of indigestion from turkey last week. I mean, yesterday. Unbelievable. That's a fireable offense, in my opinion.
I would tend to think so too, but Jerry Jones, he's got his pet. You don't kick your dog out of the house.
10 years,
yeah.
Zero Super Bowls.
Well, let's get into the games this coming weekend as we wind down. Most of the important games that are going on today are about done, or at least most of the heavily bet games. And we'll get into tomorrow's card. And we were just talking during the last segment, and I'll get your thoughts on it. So we'll start at that game. Is there any chance that LSU gets pushed tomorrow by Texas A&M? Because that's the one thing that no one's really talked about that could throw a massive wrench into the whole thing. And I don't think anybody would have picked A&M to beat LSU a year ago. But if it were to somehow happen again, suddenly the playoff is up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. Usually when an upset happens, it's the game nobody's talking about. Usually the game that becomes a trendy upset pick. It never happens, but the one that gets, you know, flying under the radar that sometimes happens. I'm not sure A&M has got enough firepower. Kellen Mond, kind of an uneven type of season for them. I certainly think A&M's capable of covering in the big 17-point spread. But I'll say this to you guys. I think LSU could lose that game as long as it's not an embarrassing loss. Say they lose it by a field goal. They turn right around and beat Georgia next week. They're in.
Maybe oh,
it
yeah.
Doesn't matter.
But we were saying certainly it would make the SEC championship game a lot more intriguing.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a winner take all at that point. So, it certainly would. And, I mean, it's not like it should be a good matchup considering that it's sitting there in Atlanta. I mean, LSU's only going to be right around about a field goal favorite in that game.
Well, let's get through some of these other big games. Ohio State, Michigan. Obviously, maybe the biggest rivalry game on the board. I think maybe there's value in Michigan. I'm scared to get in the way of this freight train that's Ohio State, but I certainly do think that Michigan has some value in their number because they've been playing so much better. And I think that maybe all the early season hate on Jim Harbaugh was a little premature, And he's got his team playing pretty good football right now, and people seem to still think Michigan's a joke football team and Jim Harbaugh is going to get fired. They're probably going to win 10 games. I mean, they're doing okay. What do you see in this one? Do you think 9.5, 10 is too much?
Well, I heard a very similar story last year heading into that Ohio State-Michigan
True.
Game because Michigan was coming off, what, like a 42-7 win over Penn State. They crushed Wisconsin, crushed Michigan State, and won 10 straight games after opening up with a loss against Notre Dame. Michigan was playing their best football of the season. They go down to Columbus and give up a 60 spot to that Ohio State offense. I'm not falling for it again now. I don't think there's a tremendous amount of value in Ohio State, but I'll say this. The one question mark on Michigan's offense right now is that offensive line. I think it's average. I'm not saying it's, you know, bad or anything, but I think it's average. And you can't be average when you got Chase Young on the other side of the line of scrimmage. I'm going to take the Buckeyes here. I think last week the game against Penn State would have been much more dominant if Ohio State, instead of three turnovers, only had one or maybe two. I mean, they cover that spread, and if that's the case, I don't think we're sitting with a single-digit point spread here.
Another game we've talked about a lot is Alabama-Auburn, and Alabama now 3.5 at how do you see this one going? Because obviously with the quarterback change, it's not the same team, but do we really know what they are? Because we haven't seen him play against a decent team.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the market's given a lot of credit to Mac Jones, the backup quarterback. But, again, Arkansas and Western Carolina, those are his two starts against the worst team in the SEC, one of the worst teams I've ever seen in the SEC, and a bad FCS team. Not even a good one, a bad FCS team, Western Carolina. So I think the jury's out. Auburn defensively is legit. Not a single team has scored more than 24 points against Auburn's defense this year. I'm leaning towards the Auburn side. I mean, it would be a significant bet for me if I could just trust Bo Nix, the quarterback for Auburn, against Nick Saban. I can't, so it's only a small bet for me on the Tigers.
There's some other rivalry games, but like Notre Dame-Stanford, for instance, is now 17 for Notre Dame, and obviously Stanford has not been very good this year. Have we seen the end of the Stanford run? Is the bloom kind of off David Shaw here?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the recruiting has not gone as well. They've gone away from their identity. I mean, they're not even a running team anymore. I mean, they're just throwing it all over the yard, and they're not going to be able to throw it tomorrow because there's going to be wind and rain, and it's already, in my opinion, one of the worst fields, even when playing conditions are great there at Stanford. I like the under in that game. I don't want to lay the 17 with Notre Dame if the field's going to be really sloppy, but, yeah, we've certainly seen – I mean, this easily is the worst Stanford team since one of, you know, Jim Harbaugh's first or second year on the farm more than a decade ago. And I don't see it getting much better next year either.
The one team that has been asked to get margin in recent weeks and has done it every single time has been Utah.
Yep.
Particularly at home. The number's 28 against Colorado. I'm laying it. I just think Utah is on a mission. They want to be they know they've got to have style points. They can't go in and eke out a win against Colorado and just assume that the committee's going to look at them and go, oh, okay, that's good enough. I think they're looking to go in there and just bang heads. And Colorado doesn't offer much offensively. Do you think that number's too big, or do you think that Utah is going to continue to just smash lesser competition?
It's about right. I mean, I got a power rating right at 28, so I'm not going to disagree with you strongly. It's just, you know, it's a no bet for me. You're right. I mean, the Utes have not only won seven straight, they've covered seven straight, and they've gotten margin even against the spread, the average cover in those seven games by two touchdowns per game. They're a legit team. I get it. A lot of people don't watch Pac-12 football, but this is a team that's top five in points per game margin, top four in yards per game margin, top five in yards per play margin. I got a number six in my power ratings right now where, I mean, it's all about who would be favored over who in a neutral field. You know, I'm hoping Utah gets some margin here for your case. And also, I kind of want a Pac-12 team in here when it's all said and done. So I think it'd be good for college football for us to not to, you know, totally disregard a couple of time zones in the country, the mountain and the Pacific.
Brad Powers is our guest. I wanted to ask you about another rivalry game because I've been riding Oklahoma State all year. They're 13-point dogs at home against Oklahoma. Backup quarterback didn't really do much last week, but he did enough. And Oklahoma has not been the same Oklahoma since that Kansas State game. They haven't blown anybody out. It's at Stillwater. It's a big rivalry game. I like Oklahoma State here. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I'd like to tell you you're wrong, but I'm with you. And I don't know if that's good. It hasn't been a great college year for me, so maybe you don't like hearing me having some agreements on you here. But, I mean, the last 11 times Oklahoma State has been an underdog, they're 10-1 against the spread, average cover by 2 touchdowns per game. Drew Brown doesn't have a high of a ceiling as a Spencer Sanders at quarterback for Oklahoma State, but I think his floor is a little bit higher, and meaning that Drew Brown doesn't turn the football over like Spencer Sanders does. And you turn around, you hand it off to Chuba Hubbard. If Oklahoma stops Chuba Hubbard, then Oklahoma's going to blow him out. But if Oklahoma State can establish the run like they've done all year, I think they keep it a game here, and they stay within the number.
Do you have concern that if Oklahoma gets up 14-0, that this thing gets out of control because Oklahoma State is going to be so run dependent that there's no way for them to get back in the game?
I think it's built in the number, and also Oklahoma needing style points here. I mean, I got a pure power rated like 9 or 10. I mean, that's why the number's sitting here at 13. It's already built in the number, in my opinion.
Another team that this is a team that's been respected all year, I think, but has not been going out and getting a bunch of margin, with a couple exceptions. But the Florida Gators are not a team that usually goes around beating teams by 17-plus points, and that's the number that they're going to be asked to win by against Florida State. And I know Florida State is obviously, this is not the Florida State of past, otherwise we wouldn't have a 17-point spread here. But does this Florida State team have anything to play for here? And they've been playing, albeit against lesser competition, they've played better of late. Do you think that Florida State has enough to keep it close?
This is the type of game where, I mean, the two quarters of the game are going to be everything. I mean, I think there could be some give up on Florida State if they get down early. I think you'd see more of the same. Certainly, if you listen to the Florida State players talk, I mean, they're going to try their best to, I mean, they want the interim coach, Odell Hagans, to get the permanent job. So I think coming into it, they're going to be very motivated. But if things don't go well early for Florida State, I think it could be Katie bar the door at that point. And the thing that I worry, if you're looking to back Florida State, is there's a mismatch at the line of scrimmage. And particularly, it's Florida's defensive line that's top 5 in the country as far as sacks, and Florida State's bottom 10 in the country allowing sacks. That would be my one worry if you're looking to back the Noles.
This is probably not one of the sexiest games on the agenda, but one I like for a couple of reasons. SMU is 3.5-point favorite at home against Tulane, down from 5.5. They still have something to play for. It'd be a big deal for SMU to get to 10 wins. Tulane, to me, has been, you know, they beat up bad teams. They haven't really gotten that win against a good team. I think SMU's going to crush them here. Please tell me you agree with me on this one, too, so I can double up on both of these.
I lean that way. I mean, both teams have been grinding down a bit. What's been, turned out to be a really good American Athletic Conference. I mean, there's a lot of solid teams, and, you know, both teams, have kind of fallen short of expectation the last few weeks here, but, yeah, 3.5, it seems a little short to me. I can tell you the bigger money has come in on Tulane throughout the course of the week with the spread dropping, but I would lean with the Mustangs here.
Just kind of a weird thing, but Memphis beating Cincinnati today, they're going to have to come back and play again next week. Is there a way, do you have any handicapping thoughts on that, how you look at that game when a team, teams are playing back-to-back, or is it just something you probably want to avoid?
Tough. I mean, I thought, coming into it, I took Memphis today, didn't cover. I think the number will come much shorter because I thought what was built into the spread this week was the possibility of Cincinnati just rolling over because the game really didn't mean much to them. They had already clinched a berth in the championship game while Memphis needed it like blood. That number, I think, the line closed right around 13 or so today. I think it's probably going to be closer to 10 next week. I'll evaluate and see moving forward, but I don't expect it to necessarily make my card next week. If anything, I'd look more towards the dog.
One of the games is probably my favorite on the card, and I don't know. I haven't put in a number yet. I'm hoping for a 3. I don't know if I'm going to get a 3. I feel like this spot for Army against Hawaii is a home run spot. Hawaii is a team who's struggled to stop the run this year. They've locked up their side of the conference. Seems like they don't have much to play for, whereas Army is, I mean, in general, Army's not the kind of team who's going to just roll over, but they're playing for bowl eligibility. They've got a lot of things on the line here. Do you think this is a good spot for Army? Have you looked at that game? And I guess furthermore, do you think that number will ever get to a three, or should I just go for it at 2.5?
I think you're a go for 2.5 because, I mean, let's go back to last week. A lot of money came in against Hawaii, and I don't see pro Hawaii money showing up. I think the line, if anything, is going to drop. I got a 3.5 on Sunday. Yippee me. I love Army here. We'll see if I haven't. I mean, I've gotten the better numbers all season long, and so I've had a bad year. So I'm not sure that that's a good thing moving forward. But you mentioned it. Great spot for Army. Off a bye, needing one to stay bowl eligible. Bye on deck. Hawaii, you know, off of a division clinching win that went down to the final play of the game last week. Boise State on deck. I mean, if you're a little lackadaisical this week, and the last team you want to play is a service academy team, Army's getting things going here as of late. They haven't really played anybody, but I thought the Air Force performance by them a few weeks back was one of their better performances of the season. Hawaii was terrible against the Air Force on the islands earlier this year. Couldn't stop the option. They won't stop it on Saturday night. Army's my favorite play of the week.
Oh, nice. Well, good news.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're not having a great year. Whenever you agree with something that I like or something that AJ likes, it makes me feel better about the play, win or lose. So there's that.
I like it.
All right, Brad. Well, hopefully we all have a big weekend, man. Appreciate you joining us as always, and hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and look forward to talking again next week.
All right, right back at you guys. You guys take care, and happy Thanksgiving to you and the listeners.
All right. Brad Powers. The man.
Always appreciated, no doubt.
Yeah, he's his knowledge, and we always talk about this. You know, sometimes, and it goes back to what Matt Dean used to tell me about poker: decisions, not outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
The decision process that he goes through is, I mean, I still learn something from him almost every time he's on, and been doing this a long time, and
that's
still learn some things. Juggy Trey finally played a decent song. Good job, bud.
I like it, Trey. Way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah. The rest of the day, not so much. Been pretty lame, but this is good.
You like Africa Bambaataa?
I don't like a single thing you've played until this, which is why I bring it up.
Got it.
All right. Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman,
and we are back on the Blitz, and we haven't had a chance to do this yet because. We had Charlie here, and then we had Brad, but we haven't done a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day, so let's do that.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, a bunch of people sent me this story, so I don't really know who to credit it to because about six of you sent it to me. Are you familiar with Strongman Eddie the Beast Hall?
No.
He is an Englishman who won the World's Strongest Man in 2017. He was named the strongest man in the UK 13 times.
Okay.
However, and if you're squeamish, you probably don't want to listen to this. Probably his biggest feat was getting himself to a hospital after a very painful injury.
Oh, boy.
He said, "I piled a load of heavy weights on a leg press machine and then heard a loud thud."
Oh, no.
"It had come crashing down, and the weights landed on my penis."
Oh, no.
He says, "I nearly bled to death. It was bad, the worst ever." But instead, he drove himself to the hospital, bloody penis and all. He says, "I didn't cry for help. I just lifted them off, drove myself to the hospital, and got stitched up. I was back training soon enough." I got to tell you, that would be a career ender for me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not lifting any more weights if it's going to lead to that. But he also has, he eats 8,000 calories a day.
Yeesh.
So, but.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, well, he also probably, well, he works out the other 20 hours of the day.
Yeah, I guess. Big deal.
And he's probably eating every steroid known to man. But, yeah, he says, I snack on cashew nuts and beef jerky. Lunch will be steak or chicken with rice, pasta, and veggies, and half a family-sized cheesecake.
Jeez.
Then I have a steak and rice meal, and the evenings get hefty. Spaghetti, bolognese, or a curry, and the other half of the cheesecake to polish it off. But, hey, it works for him, and his thing also works.
That's so good. That's the important thing.
Yeah, that's all I really cared about was as long as his penis was okay. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
See that Philip Rivers and the Chargers are probably headed for a divorce at the end of this year?
It's not surprising.
Yeah, part of it's performance. Part of it is they're pissed off at him because he's never really... He wasn't crazy about the move to L.A. He hasn't really embraced it. They're having trouble selling tickets there. And they kind of
he's not an L.A. kind of guy.
Nope. He said he spends 4 hours a day in his car commuting back to San Diego.
That's crazy.
Some of the organization believe could be a critical element moving forward. The Chargers and the Rams, for that matter, are having great difficulty selling seat licenses and tickets for the new stadium Rams owner Stan Kroenke is building in Inglewood. And the feeling within the organization is that Rivers has not embraced the relocation. For the business side,
he's pretty much said as much.
Yeah, it says for the business side of the Chargers operations, it's difficult to launch a campaign in a new city with a quarterback who is essentially not part of that community. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem like he wants anything to do with L.A. at a time when the team is actually completing its relocation to L.A. Well, but he's been straight about that. He didn't want to leave San Diego. And now it's an easy, if you're the Chargers, it's going to be easy to get rid of him because he's old. And, you know, do you go out to, Cam Newton? I mean, there's going to be options for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they need to be careful what they wish for because he's been a pretty good quarterback for them for a long time. And I don't know that you're going to be better bringing in somebody else. I think fans would rather see you win. But on the other hand, I mean, you're gonna have to move on from him at some point. I guess it might as well be now.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to figure out a fresh start at some point. And if you know it, you can draft a quarterback. Good season to be drafting a quarterback.
Yeah. And, you know, they'll be in a position where they could trade up if they wanted to.
Yep.
They're not going to be so far down that they can't do that. So, yeah, and then that gives you a shiny new toy when you move into L.A.
There you go.
Well, they've already moved into L.A., but to the new stadium. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And a bit pretty sportsy today. Do we want to mix it up here for the last couple of...
Yeah, why not?
Last couple of segments.
We can do what we want. Nobody's listening.
That's true. I had speculated there were 10 people listening, and I'm guessing 6 of them left with Charlie.
Probably.
So we're down to 4 listeners. But that's all right. So we'll just do whatever for the next 33 minutes here as we take you up to 7 o'clock on a Friday, and hopefully you're not stuck in traffic. And well, if you're out shopping, you are.
Yes.
I know if you're around the Galleria, then, yeah, you're stuck in traffic. But appreciate whoever's listening. Just say that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And Trey, I hope you don't think playing Jimmy and Zepp is going to save the crap you've been throwing out there the entire show. But after a rough start, pretty good job.
I think I did all right.
You recovered nicely.
Yeah, you did. You've done a good job since then. Music game needs some work, but I knew that going in because...
Trey doesn't... he's not really a music guy.
Well, every music opinion he has on Twitter is the worst thing I've ever seen, so it was kind of what I expected.
I appreciate that, Brent.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think you've rallied, though. Do you want to take a call?
Sure.
Why not? Jake, go.
Hey, guys.
Sports, Jake.
How are y'all? Happy late Thanksgiving to y'all.
Same to you, man.
Hey, quick question. What are y'all's thoughts on this Trevor Lawrence guy being a once-in-a-generation player. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I think that Trevor Lawrence is a freakishly good talent. I think that next season he'll probably be even better. And I think that Dabo Swinney is a coach who doesn't – he's not necessarily worried about if you're going to win the Heisman or not. He's been worried about winning games and keeping his team healthy. So he's pulled Trevor Lawrence out of games early. But when you look at Trevor Lawrence's stats this season, I mean, if you didn't say during the season this is the guy who's the front runner to win the Heisman, you'd be like, damn, pretty damn good. I mean, he's probably going to finish with around 3,000 passing yards. He's at 27 touchdowns. The 8 interceptions on the surface is alarming, but the reality is he had 5 of them in the first 3 games of the season, and then he shut it down. And he hasn't thrown a pick in 4 weeks. I don't know. I think he's a special player. I think that he's got a lot of Andrew Luck to him, and he's the kind of guy I would want, certainly.
Yeah, I wouldn't call 8 alarming. I would say that it feels high for a player of that caliber.
Yes.
But, and like you said, he's shut it off since early in the season. But I think he's going to be the most anticipated quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck.
And if
go ahead.
If you look at his rating, his QB rating, his completion percentage, yards per attempt, yards per completion, he's better than he was last year.
Yeah, and just eye test, the guy looks the part. And I do think he will be, and there's no guarantee. And I don't like the generational talent thing, because would you have thought Patrick Mahomes was a generational talent?
I didn't think Patrick Mahomes was an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So I don't like that term, but as far as being the most anticipated since Andrew Luck, absolutely. And, you know, we'll find out how that plays out. But he's a guy who every team is going to be trying, that doesn't have a quarterback, is going to be trying to tank for next year. And they should. Because doesn't mean he's going to be can't miss, but you know, there's been very few guys that I think have been this well thought of. I think Peyton Manning was one. I think Andrew Luck was one. There's not a whole lot of guys that have gone number one overall where people have said, yeah, he's pretty much can't miss. So it doesn't mean he won't miss, but yeah, I think he's fantastic. And he's still got another year to develop. That's the thing. He's going to wind up having started most of his entire career for 3 years at a team that's already got a national championship, may get another one in the next 2. And I think he's going to be very accomplished by the time he gets to the NFL. So are you still a Simpsons fan? I know you were for a long time.
Yeah, I was. I haven't watched The Simpsons in some time. I used to watch every week, and I haven't watched it in probably a couple of years.
My wife still watches it every week. But according to the show's music composer, it's going to be coming to an end, and it could be very soon, according to Danny Elfman. He says, from what I've heard, it is coming to an end. I don't know for a fact, but I've heard that it will be in its last year. They've renewed it for a 30-second season that will air between 20 and 21.
Jeez, 30?
Yeah. And it's amazing, 32 years, and none of those kids have grown an inch. But it's the longest-running animated series, longest-running sitcom, longest-running scripted primetime series. There have been 670 episodes.
That's unbelievable.
The Simpsons movie in 2007, Spider Pig, made $527 million at the worldwide box office and was the 8th highest-grossing movie of 2007 globally.
When you think about Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons, what a brilliant call. And at the time, if anybody watched the first couple seasons of The Simpsons, it was really bad animation.
Yeah.
But it was so funny that you kept coming back. And I never in a million years would have thought in 1989 that it would still be going today. I don't make the time to watch it anymore, but it's always made me laugh. And I'm sure if I sat down and watched it today, I'd get a laugh out of it. You know me. I don't really like cartoon shows.
Yeah.
But it's just the perfect, you know, it's like the tale of life. It's like a husband who can't do anything right. You know, it's bad kids.
It rings true with a lot of people.
It really
does. Let's just say that. But the ones that I've watched, it's held up very well. It's still very funny.
Because they always stay current.
Yeah. But at some point, just from a practical standpoint, people die. Like, real people. Like, yeah. The guys who are writing it.
The guys who are voicing
the
it.
The actors at some point. So, but that's it doesn't look like it's going to be much longer for The Simpsons. So, there you go. And another thing that I wanted to get to. I wanted to ask you about Conor McGregor fighting again. It appears to be a done deal.
Yeah, Donald Cerrone.
In Las Vegas. So, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
My thoughts are it's a bad idea for Conor McGregor to fight at 170 pounds. And that's where they wanted to do the fight. Donald Cerrone wanted it there. McGregor agreed for whatever reason. I don't think it's a great spot for him. But I also know that Donald Cerrone's lost two in a row. He's past his prime. And it could easily, if he gets touched right, it could be a quick night. But I whatever the case, I think it's an entertaining fight. I think people are going to tune in and watch it.
Well, so McGregor, so they're always going to watch it.
It's good matchmaking. I mean, Cowboy Cerrone's one of the more popular fighters, too. It's going to be a hell of a pay-per-view. But I don't know if it's going to be as great of a fight as it would have been had they done it 5 years ago.
Yeah. That's almost always the case, right? Are you familiar with Pete Davidson?
Yeah, guy from Saturday Night Live that, like, what did he get engaged to Ariana Grande?
Yeah, I think they were together, but then they broke up because, like, I don't know.
Because he's know why they broke up because he's ugly and she's super hot.
And he's kind of a jerk. He sent, like, illicit photographs of Ariana Grande to Mac Miller, Ariana's ex. So that's why they broke up.
Pete Davidson is a weird looking dude who gets some pretty hot chicks. And I don't really get it. I mean, I guess he's a funny guy. You know, he's on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But, and that can go a long way. But boy, that's a really long way.
He brings up a point that I think is interesting. He says he will no longer perform at colleges.
He says, okay.
I refuse to do a college after this year because it's like you're just setting yourself up for trouble. Comedy is just getting destroyed. So stand-up's about to be about, like, sneakers. Hey, everyone likes sneakers. You can't talk about anything. You can't. The second you open your mouth and have an opinion, you lose money today, and I don't think that's a safe place to live in. I've been seeing this a lot, that especially on college campuses, the sensitivity is at such a high spot. Well, I mean, if I were a comedian, I don't know that I'd do it either.
Dude, comedy's a tough gig because in order for things to be funny, you've got to push some kind of limit these days. And it's less of a safe place for comedians to do that. And I saw a story the other day of some female-owned comedy store, and she pulled a guy off stage for making misogynist jokes and, like, basically said he'll never perform here again. Everybody's like, oh, that's so brave of you. I'm like, dude, it's comedy. Like, comedy can, to me, it should be an open season. If you go into a comedy room or you click on a comedy special on Netflix, you can't be worried about being offended. That's like saying, oh, let me turn on this Halloween movie. Oh, I can't believe there's so much violence. I mean, comedy is meant to offend people. That's what makes it funny. Yeah. And I don't do stand up. I don't do it. But as someone who is on the air every day trying to make people laugh, it's scary that you can get in trouble now for offending people when you're telling jokes.
Well, and both of us have done it at some point.
Yeah.
Somebody's gotten offended over something we said. And so I'm kind of with him here. I think the funniest stuff is the most taboo stuff. It really is. And, you know, I always laugh the most when I go, wow, I can't believe he went there. But, you know, and I get, especially because this is a little different than in a comedy club, I think you should have free reign to do whatever.
Yes.
And here I do know there's rules and even laws, but we still push things a little bit. And I don't want to get to where we can't because I'm afraid that the PC police are going to come after us. And they do. And so I don't worry about it. And I never rip anyone for trying to be funny and failing.
It's going to happen.
I mean, that's okay. We're all
if you make jokes for a living, you're eventually going to hit. You're going to say it's something that's not funny.
You're going to fail. It happens, or you're going to say something that offends somebody, or you're going to totally miss the mark. But if you're not trying, if you're not pushing it, then you're never going to be funny. You're never going to say anything that's going to make people laugh. So it is. Yeah, and I know it's harder for those guys now. But to me, they should have free reign. You could say whatever the hell you want, and I mean, that's the point of a comedy show. I mean, within reason. I mean,
right.
But if you want to make jokes about having sex with Hitler, you should be able to do that without offending somebody. And you know, I kind of get where he's coming from. I don't know the guy very well. I've never actually seen him perform. But I do know that a lot of comedians are having that issue with colleges now. And my question for colleges is, why are you having any of these guys?
Right.
If you're just going to have people get offended by it.
That's what they're. That's why they're having them.
Yeah, I guess so. So we can be offended. All right, guys. Well, it's still Black Friday. Texas Mattress Makers is still going to take care of you tomorrow, too, because guess what? Black Friday all month long in November. 30% off select mattresses from factory direct prices. And, guys, custom-fitted, handcrafted comfort and support. And guys, if you're already saving 50% off of what you would spend if you went to a retail store. That's just from walking in the door. Now you're getting 30% off select mattresses as well. So get over there tomorrow from factory direct prices. And Yuval and the gang they're masters at this. They know exactly the right bed to put you on. They're going to help you sleep better. You're going to save a bunch of money. You're doing business with great people who are terrific in the community. And they've got a brand new store at the Woodlands. It's off North I-45. Exit Robinson Road in front of iFly. So three great stores you can go to. Woodlands, the Katy store is on 3rd Street, or the original Navigation and Lockwood where the factory is. You can go by there and see how they make these mattresses. And believe me, I've learned so much about the quality and the care that goes into them, and it makes a big difference. I sleep like a champ. Go on by any one of the three stores. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go here on a Friday. Hope everybody is. Hope everybody's going to have fun this weekend. And if you're having to drive your significant other around for Black Friday shopping, and you're still doing it, and that's why you're in the car,
sucks for you, man.
Yeah, go get yourself some alcohol.
Enjoy yeah, it.
Got any big plans?
Just tell them you've had enough.
Yeah. There's only so much shopping that I can put up with on my end.
Yeah, big plans this weekend. I have a funeral to attend tomorrow.
That sucks.
It always sucks. Besides that, no, just sitting around watching football, I guess.
Yeah, that's it's pretty much a plan. I think we're going to, well, the wife has to work tomorrow night, so I'll probably go out and get into some kind of mischief.
It's a good call.
But otherwise, yeah, I don't know. All right, do we have stupid
stuff? I got to get on a diet.
Yeah, yes, me too.
Oh, boy, do I got to get on a diet. It's been out of control.
I think I'm going to start. I'm going to take like 2 weeks off from drinking, and I'm going to eat better for like 2 weeks because I don't need to get that much off, but I need to get enough off. And
yeah. So
then hopefully that'll do it, but we'll see.
What about you, Trey? How's your body?
I'm doing all right. 2020, I'm going to lose a bunch of weight though. Like you guys, I'm going to stop like, you know, playing Madden 07 all the time. I'm going to go out and I'm going to run some, you know.
You can get that summer body?
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Are you, when you go to the pool, are you a t-shirt at the pool guy?
You asked me this before.
You are, right?
And I told you yes, but then you were like, oh, you can't do that.
Did you stop doing it?
I haven't swim since.
Are you going to stop?
Then. See, now you've ruined his swimming.
Yeah, he needs to stop. It's such a bad look.
All right, let's do stupid stuff, and then you can make fun of him for the last couple minutes.
Yeah. Stupid stuff
we've said this week.
Mine was the stupid Falcons. They never even showed up. Mark that tape of him saying stupid Falcon.
Yeah, no, Falcons. there was a plural there, AJ. You can't just force that into
just
one
drop
word.
Drop the S off that.
Yeah, see, which that's fake news.
Nope.
Hashtag fake news.
Nope. That's
shame on you.
That's the world of digital editing.
But it was stupid of me to bet him, so I guess technically Stupid Falcon is accurate.
But I like the digital blackjack game. I like to sit down there and with that huge-breasted dealer. Those dealers are way hotter than the real dealers in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I know. And I love those because they're kind of computery.
And they're wearing, like, basically the tiniest dresses possible, huge fake boobs. And you know in real life they're not dealers, they're models. But, I mean, it makes it, you know, more enjoyable.
Isn't that computer voice a little sexy, too?
No.
What is to me?
I don't like the one where it looks like a cartoon character. I like it when it's a real person.
You know me. I like the
And then like she looks at you, but she's not really looking at you, so it's like dead eyes. Another card, sir? And you think, yes. That is a disgusting kid drink.
Guys, I feel the same way about Dr. Pepper.
No, Dr. Pepper's at least a soda-flavored soda.
It's a poor man's Mr. Pibb. What are you talking about?
No, Mr. Pibb isn't... That's why he couldn't get his doctorate. He's just Mr.
Yeah, this is three reasons the Patriots could be had this time around. But that's a little misleading because I still don't think the Rockets are going to win. Texans are going to win the game.
I'm almost certain the Rockets are going to beat the Patriots. Might be a troll job, but I'm saying 0% chance.
You know, I got to be honest with you. If I get reincarnated, I want to be an Australian. Yeah, one of these days I'm going to get down there, but I'm going to be too old to enjoy it. Wow, 5:52, long run. Is that what you think of my comments on Australians?
Yeah,
really?
Yes.
Well, from what I understand, his wife wants to be in California.
Okay. So there you go.
And that usually is your determining factor. But I do think...
Happy wife, happy knife, said OJ. Life.
Yeah, knife. I like that.
So I forget if that's an OJ quote or somebody else had happy wife, happy life.
No knife. Happy wife, no knife?
Hello, Twitter world. It's your old friend OJ. Happy wife, happy knife. I mean life. Can you delete that? Let's do a retweet of that. I mean, redo a tweet. I think if the best thing to do is if they are like a really religious family, you say, do you mind if I lead us in prayer?
Yeah, there you go. That's
and
a good one.
And then do one like, grace, let's stuff our face.
Or rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub. Yeah, kind of stuff will do it. And
or rub-a-dub-dub, your daughter gives me a chub.
Yeah, well,
stupid stuff we've said this week.
I hope people took our advice on how to deal with families at Thanksgiving.
Certainly.
Oh, because that'll get you uninvited, which is okay.
Yeah, if you don't want to go back.
Exactly. All right, well, guess what?
That's it.
We're about done here. So, Trey, nice rally.
Thank you, Fred.
We still got to work on your musical taste, but that's okay. You did rally after a very rough start, but that was to be expected. I mean, it's not as easy as it looks.
Definitely not.
But you've come a long way here, so keep it up.
Thanks, Fred.
I'm going to go ahead and give him a solid B+ after.
Oh, that's very generous.
I know. After that start, you know, maybe I'm grading a little easy, but I thought he did very well. And if there's a minute left, you should have turned the music up about 20 seconds ago, but that's okay. Still a B+. Give Hoffman an A+. I'm going to give Charlie Polillo an A+. I thought he was really good today. I enjoyed that. I was okay. I'll give myself a C. It's not bad for a Friday.
Yeah, you were all right.
All right, I hope everybody has an awesome, awesome weekend. We will be back on Monday to talk about the Texans, Patriots, and everything else that goes on over the next 2 days. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.